this morning, I invite you to bow your head as we talk to our God and our Savior. Loving Father, we lift our hearts in praise and gratitude to you this morning for being our God. Even as we are at that moment when we will get an opportunity to hear your words, we pray that your sweet Holy Spirit will manifest himself again, that he will speak through me, your manservant. Let nothing hinder the going forth of your words. Bless your words now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 19, 23 through to 28. I'll just read for clarity. Acts 19, 23 through to 28. And the same time there arose no small stir about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for dying, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. The caption under which I speak this morning is Diana or Christ. Located in the western edge of Asia Minor, with easy access to the Adrian Sea, Ephesus was at the height of its glory during the first and the second century AD. Being the fourth largest city of the Roman Empire and the capital of Asia Minor, Ephesus boasted a rich heritage of wealth, philosophy, and Roman law. However, during Paul's time, the most significant element of Ephesus was not its wealth, not its commerce or its learning, but rather its religion. Perhaps the most important and attractive thing about the city was a temple of Diana. Diana was the goddess of fertility whom all Asia and the world at large worshipped. Known as Artemis to the Greeks and Diana to the Romans, this goddess had a cult of followers. This was a cult centered in magic, astrology, and sex. The worship of Diana catered for human pleasures and perversions under the hidden under the respected garb of religion. Built of marbles and lined with gold, her temple measured 324 by 164 feet. During Paul's time, it was considered as one of the seven wonders of the world. It attracted the worship of royalty, the poor, the intellectuals, as well as the illiterate. For this reason, Ephesus was considered the great melting pot of Greek philosophy and Roman philosophical laws. It is said that those at Ephesus were especially prone to intellectual fights or meaningless doctrinal disputes. They had an attractive symbol of worship, but empty values that the world offers as an alternative to Christ. Hence, there was a conflict between right and wrong. There was a conflict between good and evil. I stop by here to tell the church this morning that at Ephesus, there was a conflict between Christ and Diana. The conflict was an appeal to the immediate as opposed to the eternal. It is to the emotional as opposed to the spiritual. It is to the pleasures of this life as opposed to the pleasures of eternal life. For those who were concerned with religion in Ephesus, it was either Diana or Christ. And I'd like to tell the church this morning that for those of us who are concerned with religion, it is either Diana or Christ. I stop by here to tell you this morning that there is no middle ground. It is either Diana or Christ. To dispel this abrasive falsehood of idolatry that existed in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul stood up and challenged the masses with a message that struck at the very core of their religion. In verses 26 and 27, listen to what Paul says. Demetrius was reporting what Paul says. Moreover, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. I want you to know this morning, beloved friends, that of a truth, there is no god that is made with hands. Are you hearing me this morning? Who is your God? My God is the supreme God who sits in the heavens above. Are you hearing me this morning? My God is the God who created this vast universe. Not just created, but sustained it on a daily basis. My God is the all-powerful God. My God is the God who woke me up this morning, set me on my feet so that I can be here to speak his word. There is no God like Jehovah. Who is your God this morning, church? Who is your God this morning? What is your God this morning? Christ or Diana? He pointed out that unlike their gods, the God of this universe is not a God made with hands or a God that sits in temples made with hands. This statement in itself gave credence to the superiority of Paul's God when compared to the God of the Ephesians. In addressing the Athenians in chapter 17 of Acts, Paul advances the superiority of God by declaring that it is in him we live. Are you hearing me this morning? Yes. What did Paul say? It is in him we live and do what? Move and do what? Have our being. Praise God for Jesus this morning. Praise God for my God this morning. Because without him, I wouldn't be able to live. Without him, I wouldn't be able to move. Without my God, I wouldn't have my being this morning. Amen. It is in him that we move and live
and have our being. Hence, we are not to think of God like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. Paul's message is profoundly disruptive to the Ephesians' way of life. In fact, the making and selling of shrines and images was an extensive and profitable business in Ephesus. During the gala season, much gain came from the purchases of shrines and images that were molded after the images of the temple and Diana. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when the church puts business before God? Are you hearing me this morning? Can you imagine when the members of God's church put their business before God? Can you imagine when the members of God's church put their spouses before God? Can you imagine, church, when you put your eye before God? Are you hearing me this morning? Can you imagine when you put the pleasure of the sight before God? I stop by here to tell you this morning that there is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like my God who rules this universe. We ought to stop, look, and see where we are heading. We are not to run as we have no sight like the Ephesians, putting the things of this life and the things of this world before God. I was sharing with you that during the gala season, much gain came from the purchases are shrines and images that were molded after the temple and the images of Diana. Hence, when Paul spoke, the record states that this declaration of God caused an extraordinary stir among the Ephesians, and especially to those who were securing their own self-interest above the truth of God. You see, you have to understand, church, that there are some things that we hold so dear to us that if we're not careful, are you hearing me this morning? And don't get me wrong now. These might not be bad things. They can be good things. But we hold them so dear to our stomach. That there is no room to be close to God. It is like some of us to suppress truth for temporal gain. Am I talking to a church this morning? I want you to say amen, church. If it is true, say amen. It is like some of us to suppress truth for temporal gain. Like Demetrius, we possess a semblance of piety, but have no real deep conviction except for what we can gain. Very often, we make excuses for what we do not, for what we do on the pretext of some causes greater than ourselves, when in fact our real and immediate concern is only about what is in it for me. Am I preaching this morning? Amen. Am I talking to a church this morning? Am I talking to a people who has for themselves the God of this universe? Demetrius had much to gain if idolatry was to be let alone in Ephesus. Do you believe me? Yes. He had much to gain if But into the city came the gospel of Jesus. Are you hearing me now? I'm stopping here this morning to tell you that wherever the gospel of Jesus goes, lives will be changed. Are you hearing me this morning, church? If you take it into your home, lives will be changed. If you take the gospel of Jesus into your community, lives will be changed. Are you hearing me this morning? If you take it into your workplace, lives will be changed. Wherever the gospel of Jesus goes, lives are changed. Paul came proclaiming the word of God. There be no God made with hands. His entrance paralyzed the craft of those who sold Diana silver replicas. This was the beginning of the putting away of a false god of fertility and the taking on of a Jesus in whom new life begins. Church, I want to talk to you this morning. I want for you to look deep in your own life. Look deep in your own life. Don't use your natural eyes. Use your spiritual eyes. See if there be anything that is separating you from your God. Are you hearing me this morning? See if there is anything there that you are setting up above God. See. And if there is anything there, I give you an opportunity to begin afresh with Jesus. Because in Him, there is new life. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, are you hearing me this morning? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. In the SDA commentary, volume 2, page 1011, 10-12. E.G. White says, many who bear the name of Christians are serving other gods. She states that our Creator demands our supreme devotion, our first allegiance. Anything which tends to abate our love for God or to interfere with the service due Him becomes thereby an idol. There are some modern activities. Can I talk to the church this morning? Modern drugs. Are you hearing me now? Some technology. And even some people that may seem non-threatening to us, but if stay in touch with them for long, we may very well become partners of demons. Amen. Some jobs. What did I say? Some jobs. Some technology, young people, are you hearing me this morning? Some friends, are you hearing me? Some family members. Some children. Some spouses. If we stay in touch with them for too long, we may very well become partners of demons. Moses lived centuries before Paul, yet he was able to declare in Exodus 18:11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them. The psalmist declare in verse 8 of the 107th division of the psalm, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Great and marvelous are thy works, O God. Might, wisdom, and power belong to thee. What a God we serve, church. There is no God like Jehovah. Are you hearing me this morning? Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. There is no God like my God. I want to tell you this morning, your money can't work for you like my God can work for me. I want to tell you this morning that your job can't work for you like my God can work for me. There is nothing in your life that can work for you like my God can work for me. He is the all-wise God, the all-powerful God, the omnipotent, the omniscient God. Paul recognized that idol worship has a numbing spiritual effect on our souls. Hence, he warns against idolatry. In manuscript release, volume 12, page 221, Ellen White states, the idols of the heathen stood between them and their God, obscuring God from their vision. Thus it is today. The cunning deception of Satan, false theory, is made a powerful to rob God. Man's spiritual understanding is darkened by Satan's sophistry. Beloved friends, the choice between Diana or Jesus is an age-long cosmic challenge that we must all face. And I stop by here this morning to remind you again that there is no middle ground. You can't say that I am neither for Diana nor I am for Christ. There is no middle ground. You've got to be on somebody's side. I ask you this morning, whose side are you on? We're held captives to the allurements of today's Diana, bidding for our allegiance. What like Charles Tindley? I say to the church this morning, let nothing between you and your Savior. Not of this world, delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasures. Jesus is mine. There is nothing between me and my Savior. Beloved friends, as we go this morning, let nothing between you and your Savior. Amen. No job, no husband, no wife, no children, no pastor, no elder. Let nothing between you and your Savior. Because when he comes again, on that great and glorious day, beloved friends, I want to be able to see you there. So let nothing between you and your Savior. Amen.